Hey everyone, welcome to the Fast in Finance podcast, and I'm your host, Patrick McCrindle. This podcast is designed for everyday, normal people just looking to improve their personal wealth management and expand their knowledge on the markets. Episodes will be short and sweet, focusing on main topics, then transitioning to market outlooks and discussions. We'll cover all the basic concepts so that you have a strong base knowledge before we dive into anything more specific. Wealth management is a concept that's overlooked in many school systems, and we're here to change that. All right, welcome back everybody to another episode of Fast in Finance. We're bringing you a weekly market commentary again, brought to you by LPL Research. We have Jeffrey Roach, the chief economist, and Jeffrey Butchbinder, the chief equity strategist, the analysts that did their due diligence, to put together this weekly market commentary. So when they wrote the annual outlook last November, the data was mixed. Some metrics hinted at emerging cracks in the economy, while others suggested the growth trajectory in capital markets and the economy had legs. So the variety of the data produced by the narrative that business activity in the new year would grow on an annual basis, but experience some bumps in the first half of the year, right? And now enter the revisions. So in the latest employment report, the Bureau of Labor Statistics issued revisions to the prior 12 months, and it turns out that firms actually added more jobs in 2023 than originally reported. So as last year ended, investors thought businesses added 2.7 million jobs, but after revisions, businesses actually added roughly 3.1 million. So headwinds remain, but on an annual basis, we believe the U.S. and the global economy is poised for a bit stronger growth this year than originally forecasted last year. And it's more than just jobs. Another factor that suggests the economy could move through this year with fewer headaches is the improving credit conditions. The latest senior loan officer survey tells us credit supply and credit demand are getting into better balance. Financial conditions improved in recent months as fewer banks tightened credit conditions in Q4 because fewer firms were pessimistic about demand, right? As investors digest the experience of loan officers, historically we experienced recessions when credit was this restricted. Improving credit conditions suggest the economy had good momentum as the new year got underway and markets are responding accordingly. Also, tight labor markets and improving credit conditions create a favorable environment for both consumers and businesses. But let's focus on the consumer here. Since the pandemic, consumer spending on durable goods such as cars and household furnishings, plus demand for non-durable goods, have been strong and above trend. We think that spending was pulled forward from future demand, and we should expect a tapering of spending on goods. Services spending experienced something drastically different. The pandemic took a toll on services demand, and after several years, consumers are finally back on trend for services. We think consumer spending will revert to the mean this year, but the strong momentum we have from jobs and credit suggests the revision to the mean may be pushed out later, just like the timing of the first Federal Reserve rate cut, which may not come until June. So President Biden lined up spending on infrastructure, the Infrastructure Investment and Job Acts of 21, clean energy, which is the Inflation Reduction Act of 22, and semiconductor manufacturing, the CHIPS Act of 2022, to ramp up this year to help cushion his reelection campaign. The White House knows no U.S. president has been reelected during or soon after a recession. This new investment spending will partially offset the consumer stimulus from previous years rolling off. This year, we will see the first big wave of IRA spending that is expected to mostly come by 2026, though a GOP victory in 2024 will curb some of that in 2025 to pay for extending the Trump tax cuts. In other fiscal news, a tax bill cleared the House on January 31st and is being considered by the Senate. Provisions in the bill have been scored by the Joint Committee on Taxation at roughly $120 billion in 2024. Policy strategist Dan Clifton estimates $136 billion in fiscal stimulus from the bill, though passage is far from assured, especially considering these dollars could influence voters in swing states, which may cause Republicans to balk. The same can be said for defense. You know, Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Red Sea, and southern border deals that came out of the Senate and face uncertain futures. Should these bills get through Congress, the odds that the 2024 GDP growth has a two-handle, though not our base case, will increase. We have raised our GDP growth forecast for this year from 1% to 1.4% and marginally increased growth forecasts for developed international economies due to some positive spillover. So LPL research states the importance of energy costs cannot be overstated. The Biden administration needs to do everything it can to avoid a spike in energy prices. A spike in oil prices may be the biggest risk facing Biden at the polls this fall. Some of the best predictors of elections historically have been inflation adjusted after tax income and the misery index, unemployment plus inflation, which could both jump if energy prices rise. What can they do? First, while the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has not been refilled, more could still be released to curb potential price increases. The Biden administration has tried to protect oil shipments in the Middle East, which may also help. And they can stay out of the way from a regulatory perspective, which to an extent they have done because the U.S. oil production is at a record high. More broadly, prices are elevated after several years of high inflation, so even though the pace of price increases has slowed, consumers are paying a lot more at the grocery store than they did when the pandemic began. Simply put, there's little margin for error here, with the situation in the Middle East largely out of the White House's control. In conclusion, the S&P 500 has eclipsed a key milestone in closing above 5,000. These big round number breakthroughs have historically preceded solid gains over the subsequent 6 and 12 months, averaging 9 and 10.4% respectively, going back to when the S&P 500 cleared 100 in 1968. The strong gains this year have left valuations elevated, but with the improved prospects for a soft landing in earnings growth, these gains appear mostly justified. Geopolitics and rates remain the key risks, and along with valuations point to modest gains over the balance of 2024 for stocks. Our year-end fair value target for the S&P 500 at 4950 is now under review. LPL's Strategic and Tactical Asset Allocation Committee maintains its neutral equities stance despite the strength of the latest stock market rally that has carried the S&P 500 over the 5,000 milestone. The improved outlook for economic growth and earnings, along with the relative stability in interest rates as inflation is poised to continue to move lower, keeps the risk-reward trade-off for stocks and bonds fairly well-balanced, though upside over the balance of the year is likely to be fairly modest. Within equities, the Strategic and Tactical Asset Allocation Committee continues to favor a tilt toward domestic over international, with a preference for Japan among developed markets and an underweight position in emerging markets. The committee also recommends a slight tilt toward large caps and growth stocks. Finally, the stack continues to recommend a modest overweight to fixed income funded from cash. All right, everybody, that just about wraps up this week's episode of Fast and Finance. We brought you another weekly commentary brought by LPL Research. Hopefully you guys get a good idea of, you know, what's trending in the markets, what's going on in the economy in terms of geopolitics and inflation, and, you know, where stocks and bonds stand for the outlook of the year. And hopefully you guys are coming to the right place for that quick information. As always, everybody, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Fast and Finance. This material is for general information only and is not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. There is no assurance that the views or strategies discussed are suitable for all investors or will yield positive outcomes. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal. Any economic forecasts set forth may not develop as predicted and are subject to change. References to markets, asset classes, and sectors are generally regarding the corresponding market index. Indexes are unmanaged statistical composites and cannot be invested into directly. Index performance is not indicative of the performance of any investment and do not reflect fees, expenses, or sales charges. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee of future results. Any company names noted herein are for educational purposes only and not an indication of trading intent or solicitation of their products or services. LPL Financial does not provide research on individual equities. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, LPL Financial makes no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. U.S. Treasuries may be considered a safe haven investment, but do carry some degree of risk, including interest rate, credit, and market risk. Bonds are subject to market and interest rate risk if sold prior to maturity. Bond values will decline as interest rates rise, and bonds are subject to availability and change in price. The Standard & Poor's 500 Index is a capitalization-weighted index of 500 stocks designed to measure performance of the broad domestic economy through changes in the aggregate market value of 500 stocks representing all major industries. The P/E ratio is a measure of the price paid for a share relative to the annual net income or profit earned by a firm per share. It is a financial ratio used for valuation. A higher P/E ratio means that investors are paying more for each unit of net income, so the stock is more expensive compared to one with a lower P/E ratio. Earnings per share is the portion of a company's profit allocated to each outstanding share of common stock. EPS serves as an indicator of a company's profitability. Earnings per share is generally considered to be the single most important variable in determining a share's price. It is also a major component used to calculate the price-to-earnings valuation ratio. All index data from FactSet. Value investments can perform differently from the market as a whole. They can remain undervalued by the market for long periods of time. The prices of small-cap stocks are generally more volatile than large-cap stocks. International investing involves special risks such as currency fluctuation and political instability and may not be suitable for all investors. These risks are often heightened for investments in emerging markets. LPL Financial does not provide investment banking services and does not engage in initial public offerings or merger and acquisition activities.